It is Wednesday. It is May 24. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you. If you are just tuning in, we've got Damien Cook, South Hooker, coming up very shortly. Brandon Wakeham from the Tigers as well was prominent in their 66-18 win. Gosh, still can't believe I'm reading that over the Cowboys last weekend.
Why? Why are you so surprised?
Well, they'd never scored 60. Neither had Balmain or Wests when they were their own entities.
Records are made to be broken, young man.
Well, they certainly were. Mitch Manners coming up as well. Gold Coast caller there in Queensland for Sky Racing. Brad Davidson and the great Dean Bulldog Richie still to come on the show this morning. And the teams are out as well. But what about the comments as well? Latrell Mitchell went into bat for his Souths teammate Damien Cook, saying that when he's doing his thing, he's the best hooker in the game. 100% by a mile, Latrell said yesterday, though he added that Api Korosau deserves it, his selection, and though he did just display his surprise, Latrell, about Cookie not making the team. Look, I don't think the comments were that bad. Some people I saw on good old social media going, well, how could Latrell say this when, you know, he's going to line up next to Api Korosau next week for New South Wales? But no.
He hasn't had a go at Appy at all. He's been straight up about Cookie. I reckon that's respect.
No, that's fair play.
I reckon he's handled that beautifully.
Well, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking that Cookie's been...
He gets to see Cookie every week play. Yeah. And he'd be saying, mate, he's playing at his best at the moment. That's not having a crack at...
No, well, the comment where he says he's the best hooker in the game, 100% by a mile. And next week he's going to be lining up against another bloke who's playing hooker.
If you ask,
I'm just saying that's what people have reacted to.
No, but if you ask Cameron Murray his honest opinion on Harry Grant, for instance, what do you think Cameron Munster would say on Harry Grant?
He's the best hooker in the game.
He'd say the same.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You're always going to stick up for your team, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, what, you don't want Latrell to speak his
mind? I'm sweet with it. I'm saying there are people who have taken umbrage with this comment.
Appy couldn't care less about that.
No.
No way. And that's one of those things as well where, I know you're coming together with an Origin team, but you play with your club mates every single day. Like, I remember we used to talk about who the best fielder was in the game. And I would say openly, there was a guy I played club cricket with. His name was Peter Burkhart. He was the best fieldsman I ever saw in my life. Mate, do you think Ricky Ponting or Andrew Simons cared that I thought that? That I couldn't care less.
No.
The player doesn't. I understand why the fan or the public goes, mate, Latrell might have even said to Appy, mate, they're going to ask me about Cookie. I'm going to say, this is what I feel. He's my teammate. It's not as if he said,
well, Appy's terrible. He's missing 10 tackles.
How's Appy getting the squad?
Yeah, well, it's not saying that. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And we're shooting the messenger as well. I know you're not. You're just saying what people are saying on social media.
Last Wednesday on this show, he was the best tipster by a mile. How are you, Cookie?
Hey, I'm introduced as the expert tipster now.
Professional gambler, be careful.
Mate, it's a much-needed win last week, especially with Loz writing me off last week. Yeah. And just a quick question for you, Loz. Are you also on the New South Wales Blues selection as well?
No, Cookie. As I said to you previously, mate, you're my favourite. I would have had you.
It's not what he said off air, Cookie. He's saying Appy 1,000%.
How did you go, Cookie? Because we all thought that you were going to be in that team, and we've said it on this program. We think you're playing better football than what you have in the past, and in particular, a lot better than what you were last year, and you've missed out. So what was the phone call like from Freddie, and how disappointed were you?
Yeah, no, I'm happy with how I've been travelling this year, for sure. And obviously, always knew going, the Origin selection, it's always, Appy's playing great footy, even though the Tigers aren't, anywhere up the top of the ladder at the moment. I still think he's been playing a really good brand of footy. So, and he's the incumbent nine for that side. And, it was always going to be sort of, I'd like to think, 50-50 between us going into it. So, I got a call from Freddie, which I really appreciated. You know, he didn't rush the call either. We had a really good long chat on the phone, not just about footy and everything, but, you know, just about everything else. So I really appreciated that from him. But, you know, straight off the bat, you know, he just told me the way he was going and why, and went from there. So, yeah, it was quite disappointing, the news, as obviously I was going to be. Yeah, I love that jersey, and it's some of the best memories, some of the best moments in your playing career, as you know, Loz, at Origin Arena. So it's probably going to, I'm you know, watching next Wednesday, it'll be tough because you're going to be wishing you're out there because you know what the feeling's like. But, you know, it is what it is. And, yeah, I like the side they've picked. A couple of names going in there, I'm sure they're going to do a great job.
Cookie, how much, in your opinion, does that combination with Appy, Cleary, Luai play a part? And obviously you mentioned he's the incumbent as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I heard Freddie say something about, you know, the combinations in big games. And, you know, they're talking obviously about Appy, Yowie and Cleary. And yeah. And Jerome there in, you know, grand finals. They won a couple there. So, and obviously played in Origin as well. So I think, you know, they're probably talking about when times get tough and they're on the back foot in the game, they might be able to all come together a bit better because of that natural combination that they have. I know Appy's not at Penrith now, but he played a long time there and built a lot of combinations there as well. So, you know, that's where I missed out. Then that's how it happened. But, oh well, and, you know, I know they'll go out and get the job done. I think I like the side. Obviously, love to be in there. But you know, there's a couple in there, and I'm sure going to cause a ruckus next Wednesday night and get the job done for us.
And just following on from our discussion a few minutes ago, no doubt Latrell and Appy, you'd be blueing in camp after Latrell's just you know, said that you're the best by a mile.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's by a mile. No, I love Latrell, and obviously he's you know, just supporting his club teammate there, and you know, I think that's all it was, and I don't think Appy will be fazed at all by those comments at all. He's a pretty laid back fella, Appy, and pretty relaxed, and not much has fazed him. So I doubt there'd be any confrontation in camp because of those comments. And I'm sure you ask Nate, he'll say the same thing, probably with the history he's had with Appy. So yeah, and just teammates, looking after teammates and supporting them, I think.
Well, you've got to put the disappointment aside, Cookie, and focus on this week against the Raiders. But South Sydney as a team, you had a good block there where, you know, seven straight victories and things were humming and everything looked like you were going to go into that game against the Eels and get another 2 points. But in the end, you were defeated by 20 points from the Eels. So tell us about that game and what happened in your eyes.
Yeah, mate, it's been a big couple of months for us here. We've had playing some really good footy and played some good sides. And, you know, I think just on the weekend, we definitely knew they were going to come out firing because, you know, they've had a bad couple of weeks and they want to play some good footy and start winning again where they deserve to be with the side they've got. And I think just their second phase, we worried too much about their offloads and sort of let their attack dictate how we defended as well. So, you know, I think I spoke to you guys about their offloads, how dangerous they could be, but I think we gave that too much respect and the trouble they caused us off the back of that and from the start of the game really put a lot of work into us, which, you know, by the end of the game just tired us out. You know, I think we're way off where we were, where we have been as well. But a lot of credit's got to go to them. We thought they were really good as well, and it showed on the scoreline. So we haven't conceded that many points in, I think, probably the last month, but did it all in one game. So a disappointing drop for us in the way we lost. But, you know, all we can do now is let that be a little slip-up and get straight back on in the winner's circle and get back to South Sydney footy this week because Canberra actually very quite similar with their second phase stuff. So I think there's a lot of learnings we can take out of the Para game for this weekend.
Yeah, Cookie, how's the debrief been with your coach? Because he made it pretty clear he felt Parramatta was certainly more motivated in a number of areas. What's the last couple of days been like?
Yeah, we had training on Monday and review. That was a pretty honest review of where we went wrong. And I think everyone's just got to take ownership of their mistakes in that game and move forward from it. And like I said, it's been a big couple of months and we know the footy we can play. So I think it was a good learning curve for us as a team that, you know, our process is going to be what works for us and not to let other teams dictate how we do things. And for me personally on the weekend, I think that was a big one for us, you know, letting their second phase go too much, worrying about their second phase sort of footy too much. And that's where they broke us down quite well. And off the back of that, they ran away at the game. So Moses was another one. Our kicking game wasn't spot on, and Moses's was. So that was a big difference in field position as well.
How's Campbell Graham, mate? He obviously would have been disappointed that he missed out on that New South Wales squad. He was named 18th man, but he had to pull out because he couldn't train during the week. Do you think he'll be right to go on the weekend?
I honestly don't know, but the last few weeks for us, he's been needling it up. And a big part of, I think, pulling out of the Origin one, he didn't feel like he could give himself to the Origin team and be able to train. And as 18th, 19th, 2021 players, you've got a big responsibility in there to make sure the standard is high, and putting a lot of effort into those sessions. So he wouldn't have been probably able to train all week and give himself to the team. So I think that was a big part why he had to, I guess, sacrifice that 18, number 18 jersey and pull out of the squad. So that'd be a big tough call for someone who's been in and around that arena and, you know, could easily be playing in that game as well.
Just this Origin period, Cookie, just considering how tight the competition is, Loz has been saying that, you know, this could make or break some sides, particularly the ones in contention or around top four contention. What do you think the key is to handling this little period for your club to ensure that you come through it on the other side?
Yeah, I think we've definitely got ourselves off to a good start, which definitely helps getting through there. We're going to have some guys come back as well, but it's all about managing loads and training loads for us as well. We haven't had the bye either, and we won't get one till round 16. So it's about finding little breaks where you can give your body a rest where possible. But your next man up sort of mentality from the guys in the reserve grade have got to be ready to go, and we've got a few ready to go this weekend as well. And we're getting numbers back, which is also going to be good. But for those teams that, you know, I've got a lot in there, in Origin, I guess we've got three of them. We've got to find a way to manage their train loads, and if we don't need them to back up, that'd be a bonus for us as well. So we've got to make sure we're playing good footy and don't put pressure on the coach, all those star players in Origin to feel like they need to come back and play. So hopefully we can have a good game this weekend and maybe get the boys a rest off next week.
Is that right? You don't have a bye until round 16, Cookie?
I'm pretty sure.
Jeez, that's got to be a great advantage at the end of the year because you've still got three buys up your sleeve.
Well, I think, I can't remember how the split rounds go, but yeah, our other buy is like 2 weeks before finals. So it's a big big gap, obviously, late in the start of the year, but we can also look at that buy at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's
a really
positive
there,
yeah.
Where we don't have to, you know, we could also use that as the rest weekend. And then, you know, most lately teams have been resting players in that final round. We might be able to play with everyone that game and go into the finals, not with a week off, which could be really good as well.
That might work out in your favour, I think.
Yeah, like if we can get through this these periods and get through it, which it has been a tough start of the year, as you can see in the competitions, very tight. A few teams on 16 and 14, so you can't be giving up games anywhere really at the moment. But I feel if we're finishing off strong at the end of the year, that bye might come in real handy for us.
Well, as our in-form expert Wednesday tipster, what have you got for us today?
I've got race 5, Beautiful Heart at Canterbury today.
Race 5, number 4, $3.50, James McDonald, Chris Waller for our listeners. Race 5, number 4, Beautiful Heart. And no doubt you poured through the form and the video for that one, Cookie.
Mate, did all the research. I've got to now. As an expert tipper, I've got to put that extra effort in. So
true. You
can learn
a lot of expectation.
I listen. That's what knowledge is, listening.
Mate, I needed that one. Needed that one last week. Back on, going for two in a row today.
Good luck, Cookie.
Good on you, Cookie. Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
And joining us is he will each and every Wednesday, Sky Racing's Gold Coast caller, Mitch Manners. Mitch, a very good morning, mate.
G'day, Jared. Going well, thanks.
Let's start
up here. Well, bit warmer than down south, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. You're very lucky there. Purveyor. Oh, well, we're on Purveyor watch after you tipped it to us week one when you're on the show at 100-1. Fifth emergency for the size this week. I saw it's in for a race at the Sunny Coast on Friday.
Yeah, I'm not too worried that it doesn't get a start in the size. I know it sounds, you know, it's one of the major lead-ups to the JJ Atkins, but I just don't think the 1400 with the big field will suit. I think he certainly looked like he's probably looking for a mile straight away now after that run at the Sunshine Coast, where he was a bit unlucky at his second race start. So not too worried about this week. As long as he can go to the races this weekend, either Friday night or Sunday, he's in two races up there at the Sunshine Coast this weekend. I'd like to see him, of course, win this weekend to make sure that we're right on track for the JJ. But, yeah, I'm, as I said, not too worried about missing the size. I just don't think that race suits him.
Mitch, the barrier...
Bullish to say, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. But the barrier draw was done yesterday for the Kingsford Smith and the Derby. Who are the winners and losers out of that?
Oh, certainly Kovalika, Laurie. Like, he was pretty good last week in the Doomben Cup, chasing, you know, genuine weight for age Group 1 horses, Sweat Or, winning back-to-back Doomben Cups, and he was right there with them. And you had to think that that was just only the tick-over run to get into the Derby after missing the lead-up in the Rough Habit Plate. So he's come up with barrier 5. James McDonald goes back on him. He looks awfully hard to beat. The only question mark is he's got to go a 7-day backup, which he hasn't done before, obviously. But, you know, the Derby looks his on paper. Kingsford Smith Cup, think about it, is obviously going to be awfully hard to beat. He's just a winner. He keeps finding ways to win a race. But do you reckon Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. have got this a case of you flying? His sectionals have been through the roof the last couple of starts. He looks desperate for further, which he gets at the 1300 on Saturday. He gets the big track of Eagle Farm, and he gets a kind barrier draw of 6. I could make a case that he'll really push Think About It. If he puts one foot wrong, Think About It in this big field, I think a case of you's absolutely flying and can run extremely well in the Kingsford Smith Cup. The size is a bit of a lottery. There's barrier draws of sort of made that race quite difficult. Probably at a pinch, sort of looking at a horse like at Chrysaw, the Chris, yeah, Waller horse, who will get a gun run in the race from barrier 1.
Now, this Magic Millions Broodmare sales and some of the prices that some of these horses are going at, what about the $4.1 million, if you don't mind, for Forbidden Love yesterday?
The theatre in the parade ring in the Magic Millions complex yesterday was quite outstanding. Steve Davis was the auctioneer at the time, and he could sell a $5,000 horse and make it sound interesting. But the way that it just kept building from about $2.5 million onwards, it was quite good theatre yesterday. And obviously, she now sets a somewhat of a record at $4.1 million, Forbidden Love. But she wasn't the only one to go through at a high price. At just after 7 o'clock last night, Sunshine in Paris went through at $3.9 million to James Harron, and Snap Dancer $3.2 million, and Piping Hot, the Mum, the Dam of Coolangatta, also sold for $3 million. So after a very successful weanling sale where we saw a Zoo Star sell for over $500,000, on the back of that, the Broodmares have been a big boom for Magic Millions, and next cab off the rank is another section of yearlings to go through at the sales complex in the next couple of days.
What's your best today, mate?
Von B. We're going to keep loyal to Bevan Lemmingstable. He might be sending me hate mail after these shows. I like this fellow's trial at Bow Desert the other morning. He sat outside the leader. He looked like he had a, you know, good stride on him and showed good enough ability to get away with a maiden somewhere. He's a son of contributor, so he'll probably appreciate ground, but he trialled over 1,050 and steps out at 1,350 today. And from a decent sort of a barrier draw, Tegan Harrison rode him in the trial. I didn't think it was an overly strong maiden outside the favourite, who's drawn the car park. At $5.50, $6, I thought he was worth a play off his trial race 3, number 10, Bombay. Just a quick update before I go, boys. The first section of turf got laid at the Gold Coast Turf Club, so exciting times for them. Fingers crossed we'll have it all down by around mid-July, and then that consolidation process will happen. And rough estimates at the moment, we're looking at racing late October, early November.
Love it. Bring it on. Good on you, Mitch. Thanks so much.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Last night in the IPL, the Chennai Super Kings went through to their 10th IPL final. They beat the defending champions Gujarat by 15 runs. Now, the other match, well, Mumbai are in action. I think that's tonight. So it's Cameron Green's side. I would have liked Cameron Green to be over there at the Ashes, but because he got a ton and helped them through to the top four, he's still in the IPL.
Well, the boys are not there yet, are they?
They leave Friday.
Yeah, I saw Bolan was bowling in Melbourne yesterday. I saw Davey Warner was playing netball with his kids in Sydney last night. So, yeah, leave Friday. So that Chennai MS Dhoni is still captain of that Chennai team.
Still playing.
He's still playing. So I think he handed the captaincy to Jadeja. That lasted four games. That might have been last season. And then he took it back over. And he's now got Chennai to another final. Mm. Unbelievable. So there'll be lots of talk about is this his last, will the final be his last game for in the IPL and for Chennai? Knowing MS Dhoni, he won't say a word. He'll go away for a few months and see how he feels.
He's nearly 42.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable player.
42 in July.
Unbelievable. He's been a brilliant captain as well. Very successful for Chennai. I think that'd be second. I think Mumbai has won the most IPL finals, but Chennai would have to be second, you'd think. But yeah, so and could be Mumbai v Chennai again this year. And Cameron Green, at least he's playing cricket. I know I'd like to see him, certainly with his bowling, just getting some more workload in preparation for the Ashes, but at least he's running around, he's playing cricket, bat bowl field. He's this opportunity in the IPL will do his confidence the world of good. So I think we might see Cameron Green have a really important and a very good Ashes series, as long as he can get his body fit and stay on that park.
So important for the balance of our side, isn't he? Who did you play for again?
I played for the Pune Warriors.
They don't exist
anymore. I only played
anymore,
six games. No, they're gone.
You killed them. What'd you do? You killed them.
I took their cash.
You played six games and
we
killed
didn't,
them.
We didn't do very well. Surab
were you the ambassador or something?
No, that was the Melbourne Stars. That was the Melbourne Stars and Sydney Thunder.
Yeah. How many games did you play?
I didn't play a BBL game. I didn't play any. I had two teams. I didn't play a game. No, I can't remember. I think Sydney Thunder was, I signed an ambassador contract. So it wasn't a playing contract. So that was different. Melbourne Stars, I was meant to play, but I got injured. Oh. So, but yeah, two teams and no games.
Hopefully you end up in some list in 20 years' time.
No, like never playing again.
Worst signings ever for the Melbourne Stars.
Yeah, for sure.
We signed Michael Clarke, didn't play a game.
We signed me for the press conference to announce it. And then I went home. Melbourne, because I retired. I think that's what happened.
It's no excuse.
I think I retired.
Should have played.
So I retired. I actually can't even remember.
Quit.
Either way.
Mate, but you can't play for Melbourne. That'd be wrong.
Yeah. Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie was onto me.
You're not playing.
Anyway, didn't happen. I don't have to worry about it. I won't be playing again, let me tell you.
By the way, mentioned the Formula One Grand Prix Monaco this weekend, pup. Reports that seven-time world champ Lewis Hamilton's been offered $75 million. I'm guessing that's US.
Per year.
Per year.
Yes.
To apparently, that's very similar to his current wage,
yep.
But to go from Mercedes to Ferrari.
And he's going
to
take it, you know?
Is he?
He's going to sign it because of the car.
Well, is it better? I suppose it is. I mean, he's fourth in the championship at the moment, Hamilton, but no one's challenging Red Bull at the moment.
Not right now. Ferrari's second to Red Bull, though. In regards to Carr.
Yeah, well, Carlos Sainz and Leclerc.
I reckon Carr, though. If Lewis gets in a Ferrari, I reckon different story.
But that's the thing. One of those two drivers would have to be... They're both under contract next year.
I know.
So one would have to go, and they're both going
Lewis Hamilton.
I know.
There's only one Lewis Hamilton.
I know.
Is Lewis the greatest of all time?
Nah, Schumacher.
Still?
Well, as far as titles, I think Hamilton did go past him, didn't he? He's on seven.
Yep.
I think Schumacher was six. But
I'd still
the last
hard to put Lewis in front of him.
Is this a Jordan v. anyone else conversation? But then,
no, I think Jordan's always just been the standout.
You don't reckon? You reckon Schumacher But if you, again, this is the hardest thing, I reckon, in Formula One. The car, you speak to a lot of the drivers, and you can be the best driver, but if your car's not right, you can't compete. So Ferrari had a stage there. Different league.
Sorry, seven each.
The car was a different league. So I guess how would, only an expert would know, I guess, in regards to driving skill, if they were in the same car.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like, that close as well.
Well, it's like, I've said it a number of times, you know, when you look at records, you just can't go off
statistics. I agree 100%. I agree 100%.
Because
and
the
cars have changed so much as well.
Doesn't always have the best
record.
Statistics.
Yeah. Well, Mark Orr versus Steve Orr. Right?
Well,
Steve Orr averages, averages 10 more runs in innings than Mark Orr. But, and I love Tugger. Love him to bits, but Mark Waugh was my favourite.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm picking a number four batsman for Australia, I'm picking Mark Waugh.
Well, so am I.
I absolutely loved him. The way he played, what he offered bat, bowl, field. Like,
just did it so easy.
The package, how he looked, how he played, how elegant he was. Like, but there's a good example. Statistically, 10 average 41 versus 51 is a massive difference.
Well, the other one would be... Justin Langer, to me, was a tough batter.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have him in my top 10 as opening batters for Australia.
No. But his record
probably,
was,
but his record would be enormous. It would be a lot better than...
24 test 100.
It would be a lot better than most others.
Well, Michael Slater...
But just to me personally...
Yeah, good example.
I would look at Justin Langer and go, you know what, nah.
Yeah.
Even wouldn't though you've got a better record, I'm not having you in my side.
Yeah. Well, Michael Slater was my favourite batsman at once. I still think Slats is, like, you talk about Matthew Hayden's record or David Warner's record. I love Slats, the way he played, the way he took it to the bowlers, that era he played in. Technically, he was unbelievable in that, you know, the start and middle of his career. So, yeah, it's personal preference, I guess. And and I'm sure there'll be other drivers that, you know, certainly people in the past that would put them above Hamilton and Schumacher.
Senna.
Yeah, Senna's a good example.
All right, we've got to talk some footy. How's this for a stat? 8 from 8. That's what Brandon Wakeham kicked in the 66-18 win for the West Tigers against the North Queensland Cowboys at Leichhardt Oval. A boisterous Leichhardt Oval it was there on Saturday night, and Brandon is joining us. Morning, Brandon. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, going great, going great.
Appreciate your time. And from the players' perspective, I mean, tell us about the energy that crowd gave you as the score racked up there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. It was my first time playing first grade game at Leichhardt, and the fans were going crazy, especially up on the hill there, especially John Bateman running back for the kickoffs. It was getting them pumped up and stuff, so it's a bummer that we don't have any more games there at Leichhardt after winning like that on the weekend, but yeah, that was a special one.
Brandon, can I ask, have you ever been a part of a game with such a big scoreline in your favour, and did you get a sense of a performance like that in the warm-up?
No, I haven't been a part of a winning scoreline like that ever, probably even playing junior footy. I was saying to friends and family, I didn't ever think I'll be in a first-grade team that will score 66 points.
Amazing.
Yeah, but it was crazy. In the warm-up, we were always going pretty good in the warm-ups, but... 66 points was probably a bit far-fetched than what I thought, but I could see a win like that coming.
Brandon, what's the feeling like around the group? A really tough start to the season. The entire club copped a lot of criticism, but you were able to take that on the chin and to be able to turn things around. The last month of footy has been outstanding.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Even early on in the season, the vibe there is pretty good. We're losing and stuff like that, but like the vibe around training and stuff, everyone was still up, and was just forgetting about the weeks. But to win like that on the weekend was pretty crazy.
And in Luke Brooks' 200th game as well, tell us a bit about the Brooks that we don't get to see.
He's pretty chilled out. He's pretty calm. Even when I first came to Tigers, the stuff that he was doing at his training was sort of surprising me. He's throwing long balls and stuff like that. And I didn't realise how quick he was. He fooled me a few times at training. And to see him do that in the game, it's just sort of a credit to him, especially all the stuff that he cops. It was good for him to get him in like that on his 200.
I tell you what, you've got some exciting young players, none more than your fullback, Jareem Buller. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Jareem. So when I first came to the club, late Jan, so we were doing a pose and stuff, and I could just see how fast and how agile he was. He was sort of carving the first grade team up at training, and I didn't really know who he was. Didn't verse him in junior footy, and then to hear that he had a year off to pursue it, sort of a basketball career, was crazy. And then to see him play this year and his first year in first grade, he's gone great.
Of course, he came across from the Dogs, Brandon. Tell us a bit about, you know, what you're expecting on your own future being off contract this season.
I'm just hoping to play good footy, consistent. Probably that my first few games coming into top grade wasn't the best, and probably didn't help the team out as much. That's probably why we didn't win as well. But sort of that last month, just simplifying my game, getting the help from like Uppy and the coaches. They're just sort of picking one or two things out in my game, and I just try to do that well going forward. And hopefully a contract comes up, but we'll see how we go.
Brandon, got the bye this week, and then you got the Raiders. How's that going to be without Appy? He's obviously a big part of this team now, this West Tigers team, and his leadership, I'm sure, will be missed. So who fills that void, and how important is for guys like yourself to step up without him?
It's probably massive for the rest of the group to step up. He brings a lot of vocal and leadership to our team. Jake Simpkin, he'll slot straight in there. He does a good job anyways, at hooker. But I think it's everyone's job to sort of step up a little bit. And Raiders are going to be tough. They got some pretty decent players, especially the players that are sort of retired from Origin. It shows that they just want to concentrate on club footy, and we're going to have to put in a good performance coming on that Friday.
Well, what about the coaching setup, Brendan? You've got the old and the new. You've got Tim Sheens, who's been around for a long time, and Benji Marshall. How are they working together?
Yeah, they're working well. Sheens, what he says is it's pretty simple. It's pretty old school. He's got a few tips and tricks, wet weather footy and sort of stuff like that, that he likes us to do. And Benji, I think they just complement each other well.
He loves a yarn, doesn't he, Tim?
yeah, he's right. Benji cut him off a bit.
Can I ask, mate, how long do the team meetings go, mate? We used to have them for an hour and a half.
I think he's getting better.
He's getting better? What does he cut him down to now?
Benji tells him to get out. It's a father-son relationship. Benji kicks him out.
No, it's all good. He gets his point across, which is the main thing.
It looks like it's a happy camp at the moment with a couple of wins. The Tigers appreciate your time, Brandon, and good luck for the rest of the season.
For sure, guys. Cheers. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Brandon Wakeham from the Tigers.
I wonder if the boys are going to Bali. Got a little break, don't they?
Well, because they won, we won't know about it.
Sheensy, let him go to Bali.
Lose by 30. I don't think so.
But it's funny when Benji cuts Sheensy off. We used to have Brian Hyder. He was our man. He was our trainer. Sheensy's right hand man. He used to cut the meetings off because he could go on and on, Sheensy. He could just go and go. I loved it. Mate, you start talking to me about footy, and 3 hours later, and the boys used to laugh and joke because you wanted to leave training early or something. He'd say, mate, come into my office. I need to see you for 5 minutes. And the boys would be stirring you. Because you'd have to have the shower and then go in, and you knew you were going to be there for another hour.
No way. I reckon warm-ups and team meetings is why you retire from professional sport. The playing is the easy part. The warm-ups and the team meetings. Oh my God.
Actually, I didn't mind the warm-up because I needed the warm-up.
I hated warm-up. You sit an hour, and then in our sport, you go warm-up for an hour, then you'd win the toss and bat. So if you batted at 4 or 5, now go sit down for the next 6 hours.
Yeah.
What a waste of time. Or field in sleep all day, don't move. have the greatest warm-up, and then 6 hours out, I've got to sprint to the boundary.
Boundary, yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's a little bit different, with our sport. But, I didn't mind the warm-up. I used to hate after a loss, and it started to come in, and we didn't do it for a long period of time, but it was highly embarrassing.
Oh, run-throughs on the field?
You'd play away from home, and this is when you had to warm down after the game straight away. It was different if you played at home and you had a win, but if you played away from home, regardless of whether you won or lost, but if you lost...
You'd get booed the whole way.
Oh, mate, you'd be warming down and stretching and doing
run-throughs in the change room.
It was like highly embarrassing.
Yeah, no way.
Very, very embarrassing. And you just had to cop it, and then we just went, mate, this is no good.
We used to get the naughty boy session. So if you got flogged in like 3 days, then you'd have to go, firstly that afternoon, you'd go in the change room, get smashed by the coach, everyone else. Then they'd say, rightio, we're going to do a fitness session on the ground. People are still leaving the ground. And then the next day, and then day four of the game, or day five, you'd have to go back and do like a batting session on that used wicket. Like a centre wicket practice.
After you got bowled out for 47 in Cape Town,
we got flogged. There,
did you go
60,
back and do the 60 video
in England, we did,
soon after?
We did this. We played, we didn't play a game. We did these run-throughs for like, felt like 2 hours on the ground after we were bowled out for 60.
But if you're away from home, they wouldn't let you use the centre wicket, would they? They'd let you train, but they'd let you
drop if you get to the groundsman early enough. You can. So in India recently, the groundsman watered the pitch, so the boys went back the next day and the pitch was watered, but generally they'll let you. Because the pitch is really, they know for 5 days the ground's taken up by the international game, so they normally let you.
What happens if you, like, who approaches the groundsman? Because if you say 5 or 4 for 15... And you've got to have the confidence, but you've got to...
You're not going now. No.
At 8 or 9?
No, you don't
8 or 9 down.
No, never. Wait till the end of the
game. Wait till the end of the game.
Mate, if I'm begging the groundsman to say
early. You've got to get in there early.
I'm begging for the ground. I want the ground to say, mate, the game's over. Get off. You're not even allowed to train here.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that.
Naughty boy nets and, like, the punishment.
Does it work?
No chance does it work. Makes you hate the coach even more.
Mate, the only thing that works is a good old bonding session on the drink.
Ground your sorrows.
Making players do run-throughs on the ground.
It was
mate,
embarrassing.
Why the crowd's still there?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Barmy Army singing songs, abusing you. Just got bowled out for 60 and now we've got to do run-throughs.
Awesome. Now, just a reminder, the TAB Regional Championships, the state final in Harness, Saturday night at Menangle. And we've got some double passes to give away, inclusive of food and beverage. So stay listening. I believe after 8:30 this morning, we're going to give away some double passes. Bulldogs in the house. He's coming up after 8 o'clock this morning as well. Brad Davison is right now, though. And Davo, very good morning, mate. How are you?
Guys, how are we going?
Yeah, really well. Gee, I hope Opal Ridge makes the Stradbroke field for Luke Pepper.
Yeah, so do I, guys. 41st in the order of entry at the moment. It's not looking great, is it? But look, I said this for some time. I said it back in the autumn when we were having the same sort of issues, guys. We want these horses in these races, and I just wonder whether handicapping in this country needs a little bit of an overhaul. I mean, this horse has won 2 stakes races from 4 races this preparation. She's won 6 from 11 overall. They're the types of horses you want in these big handicaps. But unfortunately, our handicapping system, it means that these horses need to, you know, to win. You know, I don't think lightly racing young horses that they get enough opportunities, in my opinion, to get into these types of races where, you know, you're an older horse, you might be out of form, but you've earned your rating some time ago. And they seem to be, you know, in one way to put it, clogging up the system a little bit. So it's the way it goes, unfortunately. I'd love to see a change where recent form is definitely put you know, a lot of weight put on that, more than, you know, ratings and whatnot. That's what we've got at the moment. I know the argument's the other way, that, you know, if that's the case, certain horses can be set for that and beat the handicapper and whatnot. But at the end of the day, we've got to find a system where these types of horses that are going to boost wagering significantly can get races in the big Group 1 handicaps.
The Doncaster winner's back in work, eh?
Yeah, I know, Liza. It comes around quickly, doesn't it? You know, we're talking not even getting into winter yet and talking about horses getting back into work to the spring carnival, but that's what it takes, you know, the time to get them back in work and a slow build up towards returning to the races. I believe there's a, after the spring as well, there's a Hong Kong on the agenda as well in December. So could be a big campaign for Mr. Brightside, but hasn't he turned into one of Australia's best racehorses in the shape of the last couple of years, you know, winning two Doncasters and what he's done. He's been a terrific horse, and yeah, he just keeps on getting better as well.
Yeah, certainly does. Good horse, Mr. Brightside. Zach Lloyd, great to see him back at Canterbury today riding.
Yeah, he's three wins ahead in the apprentice title. What do we got? A little while to go left in the season now, but should be a very intriguing race. Never have the apprentice ranks been so strong, and looking forward to seeing Zach back today. He's obviously a few suspensions. I think the latest was for that weighing in light, but look, he'll be looking forward to staying out of the stewards room and getting back to winning ways here at Canterbury today.
I see Tommy Berry, nice article in the paper today about him working during his suspension.
Yeah, Ray Thomas penned a nice article there talking about Tommy and how he was obviously pretty down after copying that disqualification for alleged improper dealings with a punter there. He's not due back to race riding until September 24, I think it is, and he was down. And even one of his kids said to him, "Dad, when are you going back to work?" And he said, "Oh, next week I've got a new job I'm starting," which he didn't have. But he thought, you know, he's got to set a good example for his children, get back to work, you know, stop moping around. And, you know, he's working for Evergreen Turf, 6 a.m. to 4 a.m., 4 p.m., sorry, not 4 a.m., 5 days a week and enjoying that. And obviously be back race riding later this year. But it sounds like he's in a good space. Obviously, you know, he puts his hand up and did the wrong thing and copping the punishment. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing Tommy back like many punters would be at the towards the end of this year.
What do you like at Canterbury today?
I've gone race 6, number 1, Turning, guys, is the best there. A bit of a tricky meeting because sometimes that track can play a little bit fancy and run, and other times it can play fairly. So, you know, horses like early in the program, some of the favourites, they have drawn wide off the track, so it's a little bit tricky to sort of take the shorter odds when we don't know. So, look, at around that $3 mark, Turning, race 6, number 1, we'll go with him as the best. He's a good winner at Gosford last time out in what probably was a stronger race than this. So, happy to think he can go on with the job today.
Race 6, number 1, Turning is a $3 chance with Tab. Have a great day, Davo.
You too, guys. Cheers.